Good evening. Biden goes ballistic over Trump in the Ukraine. Climate activists at the UN and Lower East Siders march to save a park. With these and other stories, I'm Paul D'Arienzo with the WBAI Evening News for Saturday, September 21st, 2019. Donald Trump approved sending American troops to bolster Saudi Arabia's air and missile defenses on Friday. The move comes after a devastating attack on the kingdom's oil facilities, which Washington has blamed on Iran. The Pentagon said the deployment would involve a moderate number of troops, not numbering thousands, and would be primarily defensive in nature. It also detailed plans to expedite delivery of military equipment to both Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. The United States is also considering keeping an aircraft carrier in the region indefinitely. Yemen's Iran-aligned Houthi movement, which has been battling a Saudi-led military coalition that includes the UAE, has claimed responsibility for the strikes. The Saudis have refused to accept the Houthi claim, but the kingdom also says it's still investigating the attacks and has not officially placed blame. In related news, Yemen's Houthi rebels celebrated today in the capital of Sana'a. Today is the first anniversary of the rebel movement, which entered the city, forcing out the Saudi-led government and sparking the bloody war. Saudi Arabia and its ally, the UAE, have used American-supplied weapons and raids against the rebels, while the Houthi have been responding with homemade missiles. The attacks on Saudi Arabia's oil facility, if carried out by Houthis, would be a significant escalation of the war. And Hong Kong police fired tear gas to disperse pro-democracy protesters on Saturday after pro-China groups pulled down some of the Lenin walls of an anti-government, that's Lenin as in L-E-N-N-O-N, John Lenin, walls of anti-government messages posted in the Chinese-ruled city in more than 3 months of unrest. The first canisters were fired when protesters hurled petrol bombs towards an approaching police line. Under a fierce subtropical sun, protesters set fire to a Chinese flag as others tore down wooden and metal fences. Dozens of Beijing supporters had earlier torn down some of the large mosaics of colorful sticky notes calling for democracy and denouncing perceived Chinese meddling in the former British colony. Meanwhile, on Friday, Amnesty International said some police treatment of protesters who've been detained by police during these protests amounts to torture. Police say they've adhered to regulations in respecting the privacy, dignity, and rights of those in custody. And reports that the whistleblower complaint at the heart of a new flare-up between Trump and House Democrats involved the son of the Democratic Party frontrunner, former Vice President Joe Biden, who has dominated election news in the United States. Although much remains to be known, it seems, according to reports, that Trump, through his lawyer and former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, tried to get dirt on Biden's son, who did business with Ukraine's government. Ukraine's former pro-Russian president was forced out by a so-called color revolution and replaced with pro-Western political parties led by a former Ukrainian comedian. Biden got testy with a reporter who asked about his son.
Mr. Vice President, how many times have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
And so how do you know?
Here's what I know. I know Trump deserves to be investigated. He is violating every basic norm of a president. You should be asking him the question, why is he on the phone with a foreign leader trying to intimidate a foreign leader, if that's what happened? That appears what happened. You should be looking at Trump. Trump's doing this because he knows I'll beat him like a drum. And he's using the abuse of power and every element of the presidency to try to do something to smear me. Everybody looked at this and everybody's looked at it and said there's nothing there. Ask the right question.
Mr. Biden,
okay, but you've never spoken to your
Pardon
son.
Me? Is he being impeached for this?
Depending on what the House finds, he could be impeached, but I'm not making that judgment now. Okay. The House should investigate it. The House should investigate this. This appears to be an overwhelming abuse of power. To get on the phone with a foreign leader who is looking for help from the United States and ask about me and imply things, if that's what happened. That appears to be what happened. We know that's what Giuliani did. This is outrageous. You have never seen anything like this.
Are you calling on the president, president?
You said before you entered the race that one of your concerns was about your family being brought into this race. Are you comfortable running a campaign in which...
I know what I'm up against. I know what I'm up against. A serial abuser. That's what this guy is. He abuses power everywhere he can. If he sees any threat to his staying in power, he'll do whatever he has to do. But this crosses the line. I'm calling the president to release the transcript of the call. Let everybody hear what it is. Let the House see it and see what he did.
And the Inspector General of the Intelligence Establishment, who brought the whistleblower complaint to the House, is expected to testify before the Intelligence Committee next week. And in climate news, young climate change activists delivered a strong message to United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Saturday. The message was, if elected officials do not take strong actions to combat climate change, they will be voted out of office. Guterres gave youth activists the floor at the UN's first Youth Climate Change Summit today, and they were emboldened by Friday's global climate strike, in which millions of young people and adults in hundreds of actions from New York to Australia to Iceland took off from school or work to demand urgent measures to stop environmental catastrophe. The movement's best-known spokesperson, Greta Thunberg, told Guterres that world leaders who will attend the UN Climate Summit on Monday cannot ignore the outpouring of youth action, anger, and fear.
I am very grateful for being here and for being invited here, and I want to thank the United Nations and the Secretary General for hosting this event and for inviting so many inspiring young activists. And yesterday, millions of people across the globe marched and demanded real climate action, especially young people. We showed that we are united and that we young people are unstoppable. And I don't want to take up more of your time because I've been invited to speak in the General Assembly on Monday, so I will give the others more time to speak now and just wish you a very good day today, and I know and hope that today will be successful.
Thank you, Greta.
Young people carting handmade signs packed into subways and buses early Friday and snaked their way across city bridges towards Foley Square, where protesters gathered at noon before winding their way down to Battery Park. Mayor Bill de Blasio just exited from the 2020 presidential campaign. Estimated 60,000 people descended on Lower Manhattan. Chanting "Bury the Plan," a march and rally on the Lower East Side was held by over 1,000 local residents who say the mayor is giving their community the bum's rush. Sponsored by East River Park Action, the rally was held to demand the city end its plan to demolish the park and raise it 9 feet with landfill to protect against projected sea level rise. During Superstorm Sandy, the East River flooded its banks, but a community plan was scrapped last October by the city and replaced by a new plan that residents say will destroy their park. A 40-year resident of the neighborhood, Elizabeth Ruff Maldonado, explained the problem.
We're here because we need to bury this plan to flatten East River Park and to go back to the community plan hammered out with the mayor over many years. He switched the plan to a plan to flatten the park, raise it up 10 feet, make it safe for development. We're against that. We need Carlina Rivera to step up and oppose the plan. With her help, I really believe we can stop this plan, but it's going to take the whole community to tell her what's what.
Carlina Rivera is a city council person representing the Lower East Side. Two residents who watched the colorful march wind past their homes say they remember the fear that Sandy instilled on community members, but say the city hasn't explained their plans.
All I know, I was standing there and the water almost took me in. Yeah.
And what did you see?
I saw the fish jumping out on the land.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that surprising?
Oh, yeah.
How high did the water come?
It came up high, really high.
How would you describe that? Like if you were
it was crazy. It was scary and everything.
What did you feel?
I feel like running back into my house.
Like you're going to get swept in this
year. Yeah.
What do you think about, do you know anything about the city plan to rebuild the park?
I heard that they was going to put something up so if another Sandy come, it'll do something to come over or something. It won't come like it did before.
Do you think they've told you enough about what the project is and what the problems are?
No, not at all.
you have a message for, I don't know, NYCHA, for the city councilwoman here or mayor?
Yeah, leave the park alone. Fix it up and leave it alone.
What's your name?
Cece.
That park mean a lot to you?
Yeah. Have our cookouts, and my sister just got married over there.
Kids play
like,
there.
Yeah. Hangout spot. It's nice.
What would being not having that park for 4 years be like?
Yeah.
Where everybody gonna go? Where right? Your kids are gonna go?
Yeah, no more barbecues.
No tennis, no nothing. What are you gonna do? You're just pushing people out for 4 years. What are you gonna do for 4 years?
That's a place where people can recreate around here.
Exactly. That's the only recreation you got, besides the Boys and Girls Club. So if you lose that park, where are the kids gonna play ball at? Where are they gonna play anything at? You know, the kids are not gonna be active. They're gonna be running around here looking for destructive things to do.
When they say that, they're going to try and say, they're saying that they have to close the park to protect against the floods. And you saw the floods, they were pretty bad.
Sure. The floods were bad, but you got to do it for 4 years. You can't close this section and then move that section and then move that section. You got to close the whole thing for 4 years. It doesn't make much sense.
What's your name?
Darren, D-A-R-E-N.
All right.
And here are some speeches from the rally.
This is protection old style. This is family protection. This is make you an offer you can't refuse protection. It's the Freddo plan. Looking for the dangers? You're gonna have to look in the appendixes. They're too easy to read. There are only two words in the appendixes. You're looking for the water and threats to human nature and habitat? Look in the appendix. Dangers are unavoidable. And then the other appendix said unavoidable danger. Guys, trust me. Not everyone with dirty white shoes is a nurse. But I'm a retired nurse from Bellevue Hospital. Bellevue Hospital, we would say, duh, you want to avoid the danger? Why don't you avoid the plan? You want my professional opinion? Yeah. The plan has got more appendixes than brain cells. I mean, it does not go well. You stick with us, babies, because there's no time soon we're going to leave this commitment. And besides, when your grandchildren ask you, what did you do during the Trump years, you tell them what I tell them. I did my very best to un*** America. I'm going to introduce you to Jen.
My name is Jen Chantanapichier, and I am the program director at Sixth Street Community Center. And I'm also one of the campaign coordinators with East River Park Action. New York City self-describes itself as a progressive city. However, their plans for making East River Park more resilient in the face of climate change are not progressive. Killing nearly 1,000 mature trees that absorb CO2 and other harmful gases in a city of this caliber is not sustainable and will cause even more irreversible damage. As many of you all know, the community at large, which includes over 300 stakeholders, engage in a community planning and design process that was led by Rebuild by Design. This process spanned over the course of 4+ years and resulted in a flood-resilient park that reflected our diverse needs of the Lower East Side. The community, this community, envisioned this park as more of a natural floodplain with integrated earth berms. We did not envision turning the entire park into a wall. It was only because the strength of this community-led design that this community secured $330 million in federal flood protection funding. Yeah. Yeah. It's because of you guys. Last fall, with complete disregard of this community, the de Blasio administration released their own more expensive plan, which totals nearly $1.5 billion. Their plan is to close our 58-acre park entirely. This 58-acre park, bulldoze it to the ground, kill all of the biodiversity we see around us, bury the park in approximately 9 feet of landfill, and rebuild the park on top. The city believes they can accomplish all of this in 3.5 years.
Sierra Heights.
How are we supposed to trust the city when they've swept years of our community input under the mat? We are all here today to show the city that we reject their plan and that their preferred alternative is not preferred at all. First up, I would like to introduce Daisy Paez. Daisy is a lifelong resident of the Lower East Side and a district leader. Welcome, Daisy.
I was born and raised on the Lower East Side in NYCHA Baruch Houses. Baruch Houses is a short walk away from the park off the FDR Drive. As a youth, I considered this park my Disney World, as my parents, 8 siblings, and I could not afford a vacation. Growing up in these common circumstances, I was not alone in regarding the FDR Drive Park a vacation from a low-income family's perspective. To this day, there continues to be a significant amount of people from Baruch and NYCHA houses that still consider this park a vacation paradise as I once did. Yeah. Here is my issue. To shut down the park with absolutely no alternative, where the good people of the surrounding nature houses can enjoy activities such as birthday parties, barbecues, reunions, and other activities native to our people, is a complete disregard for the low-income families that utilize the park. This is 100% unacceptable. I strongly urge the city to drop this plan to ruin our park. We should have a plan that gives our neighborhood protection, but leaves most of our park open the way it is, with all the picnic areas and open spaces. I know that there will be construction and disruptions even with a better plan. The Parks Department should consider alternatives. Thank you.
Thank you, Daisy.
Hey, I want to say, whose park is this? Whose park?
Our park!
Whose park?
Our park!
Whose park?
Our park!
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! Save our park! Save our
park! Okay, thank you. So, next up, we have Adam Zhu, who represents our Lower East Side skateboard community. This past summer, Adam led and organized a swift grassroots movement to save the northwest corner of Tompkins Square Park from being astroturfed. Thank you! Tompkins Square Park was just one of the local spots that were to be potentially impacted as a ripple effect of the city closing this park. So welcome, Adam. He also represents our youth of the Lower East Side as he grew up here.
Thank you all for coming here. As Jen said, I spent the last summer organizing to rally people to save Tompkins Square. The whole reason Tompkins was being astroturfed was because of what their plans are for this park. And that plan totally disproportionately affects the disenfranchised, and it's not one that has the support of our community. So let's come together and find a solution that we can all agree on, and that doesn't screw over this entire community along this river. Thank you.
Save the park!
We actually have a young person here who feels compelled to speak.
Hi, my name is Kyla, and I just wanted to say, well, I actually wanted to ask you guys a few questions. Now, first of all, why do we want to save this park?
We love it!
And why do we love this park? So, when we walk around, I need you guys to chant very loud as you can, if you want to save this park. Because you guys really love this park. But sometimes when you're chanting, you chant like you don't love this park. So, all of us, let us chant, and let us chant very loud.
Yes. Yeah. Save the park! Save the park! Save the park! Save the park! Save the
who is, well, Fanny. Fanny Ip is a Lower East Side native and lifelong resident and a steering committee member of the East River Alliance. Welcome, Fanny.
Thank you. Hi. So first off, I want to say thank you for all of you coming out here. I mean, this is amazing. But today, I'm speaking on behalf of myself, just glaring holes in this plan that the city does not tell you about, okay? All the impacts, the environmental, the socioeconomic, the health, everything, every aspect is supposed to affect the entire area, okay? And it's supposed to tell you all of that. So, and then it also compares this preferred alternative with these other plans, you know, and why this is the best plan, why this preferred alternative is the best plan. And one of the things that would happen is that all these NYCHA developments right here, they would be safe, okay? All of these developments over here, they are having their own flood protection, okay? And when I read this, I'm like, that's odd. You know, I thought this ESCR plan was supposed to protect them. I was doing outreach at Reese one day, at the Family Fun Day. And, you know, all the different organizations have their tables of what they're about and everything. And there was this table there called Recovery and Resiliency. That's the flood protection plan for NYCHA. It's called Recovery and Resiliency Program. The city doesn't tell you any of this. I mean, when we were at meetings, people were concerned. They're like, how can you choose trees over lives? You know, this plan is going to protect us. But meanwhile, the city is just standing there, not telling them about this separate plan. So meanwhile, the people are thinking that plan is part of this plan. So when we were fighting against this plan, they thought we were fighting against them, against that plan. And meanwhile, the city is just standing there like, you know, let them fight, you know? So I'm reading. They're talking about how, you know, these transmission lines are very sensitive. You know, they have to be really careful because, you know, if they make a wrong strike, some building somewhere is going to be out of electricity, okay? So one, they have to find where these transmission lines are. We don't know how big these lines are, how many of them they are, but we know that Con Edison has to go in there and wrap these lines in carbon fiber. These are very sensitive, and they're going to have to dig these up by hand, manual labor, okay? They're going to have to put soil on top of it, right? Remember the 3.5 year timeline they give us?
Yes.
Okay. Now, given all of this work that Con Edison has to do, do you still think that this is going to meet that timeline? Although, in the Con Edison comments on the DEIS, they mentioned contaminated soil. And do you know what they asked the city? They asked the city, what are your mitigations when we dig up the contaminated soil? Con Edison's asking the city that. So if Con Edison's asking the city that, I think that's a huge major concern. It's not just our group, the action group, it's Con Edison that's asking them. That is something of a huge concern. And I wanted you to keep in mind that on Monday, the City Planning Council is voting on it. And I think that, you know, it's very important that we have to continue this fight. You guys, I want you guys to do whatever you can. Call Carlina Rivera, Keith Powers, Margaret Chin. Flood them. Flood them with emails and phone calls. Okay? And thank you.
What do we want?
Save our park.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Save our park.
And as reported on Monday, the city plan for the East River Park will go before the City Planning Commission, usually a rubber stamp for the mayor. The plan needs support of Borough President Gail Brewer as well as Councilmember Rivera.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone long time ago?
And that's some of the news for Saturday, September 21st, 2019. The news was engineered with James Irsay. For the WBAI Evening News, I'm Paul DiRienzo.
When will they ever? Where have all the young girls gone? Long time passing.
Where have Coming up momentarily, the Laura Flanders Show.
Long time ago, where have all the young girls gone? Gone to young men, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the young men gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young men gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young men gone? Gone for soldiers, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the soldiers gone? Where have all the soldiers gone? A long, long time ago. Where have all the soldiers gone? Gone to graveyards, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time passing. Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time ago. Where have all the graveyards gone? Gone to flowers, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will